1992. Candidate Bill Clinton goes on the Arsenio Hall late night show to do the Elvis thing with his saxophone. The young crowd goes wild. 2014, another milestone in the bully pulpit's quest to get the attention of young people.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. What did you come here to plug?
Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that I wouldn't be with you here today if I didn't have something to plug. Have you heard of the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's the thing that doesn't work. Why would you get the guy that created the Zune to make your website?
It's President Obama with comedian Zach Galifianakis on the web-based show Between Two Ferns, trying to get young people to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. The difference here is that while Bill Clinton was trying to be cool, President Obama needs to get young people to act. Young people have already voted for Obama in far greater numbers than voted for Bill Clinton, but now it's time to get them to spend money to sign up for that Affordable Care Act with the enrollment deadline just over 2 weeks away. Mary Agnes Carey joins us, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
Also with us is Josh Carpenter, the co-founder of Bama Covered, which employs volunteer college students to encourage ACA enrollment in the state of Alabama. Josh, welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, Josh, anything persuasive about the president going on a very youth-oriented program like Between Two Ferns to get this message out?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's a contrarian way to get in front of young people, but I think it has a large viewership. But I generally can't speak to who all has been viewing that program. I think that it's part of a series of efforts of organizations, both governmental and non-governmental, to get in front of young people in ways that engage them and at turfs that they're comfortable with.
Is the White House, in your view, doing that? Do you notice that in the people that you're talking to, or are you pretty much starting from zero with a lot of the people that you're encountering down there in Alabama?
I was born and raised in Alabama, and one thing that's true is, you know, people take their cues from folks who mean the most to them. So our approach is very much locally based. We don't really pay attention to what's going on nationally, simply because we believe that people respond to conversations with people that they trust. Healthcare and the decision to enroll or not enroll is intensely personal. And no matter what national media cues are saying, people listen to the influencers in their lives, whether that's their pastor, the coach in their community, or, you know, teachers or barbers. Those are the folks we try to talk to and just begin to create the space for an open and honest conversation.
Josh Carpenter in Birmingham, Alabama. That's a great point, Josh. What do you think of that takeaway, Mary Agnes Carey? If all politics is local, all healthcare decisions are personal.
Well, I think it's completely true. I mean, in most households, for example, the women make the decisions about healthcare. People have to decide what this means for them. That's always been a staple of this healthcare law. We, as you're talking about, we've got all sorts of ways to reach out and try to get people to enroll. But people are going to have to get online, look at the options. Can they afford them? Do they qualify for a subsidy? People have to understand what it means to have health insurance or not have health insurance. And that's been one problem for the administration. This law is pretty complicated. And for people to be able to sort through it, for the administration to try to communicate it through a video or a soundbite sometimes is tough to do. So I think that this is really kind of a ground game where people have to think about it from their own perspectives.
And I'm wondering if, you know, that's reflected in some of the comments we've gotten from Houston, Texas. I just haven't made the time. Also, the last time I looked, it looked unaffordable to me. Or here's a young person from Orlando. The fine is much less than the insurance, and the insurance will cost much more per year than I spend on my medical expenses. If that's the case for most 18 to 34-year-olds, we're not going to get much beyond the 27% of enrollment, Mary.
Well, that's true. And to back that point up, when you look at the fine for the first year, right, it's $95 or 1% of income, whichever is greater. People kind of forget about that 1%. So the fine might be greater than the person's really thinking about. But the thing to remember is if you don't have insurance, you don't have insurance, okay? So something happens to you, you get in some kind of accident, you blow your knee out in the basketball court, that kind of thing, you're still on the hook for that expense. So while you look at the premium, the monthly premium, and think, gosh, this is too expensive for me, what's it going to be like to pay for a hospital emergency room visit when you don't have health insurance. That's pretty expensive, too.
Although, Josh, you know, how do you make that argument to young people who feel like they've thought it through? Here's someone from Salem, Oregon. I'm not going to participate in the ACA. I should have the freedom to determine how best to utilize and direct my finances. I'm on a tight budget, racked up credit lines. I'm in a younger demographic. I can afford my own health care, but will only purchase health care services directly from a doctor, only when I need it. Do not feel obligated to pay for some 55-plus-year-old's inability to quit smoking or avoid cheeseburgers and sugar. I'll take care of myself. Thank you very much. How do you argue against that, Josh?
First of all, I think that individual makes some pretty interesting points. I mean, for us, it's about the academic term would be making things proximal and salient, making the story real and how it affects you. A broken arm costs $2,500 to be diagnosed, $16,000 to be surgically adjusted. In having the conversation about stories nearby, one of our student volunteers, for instance, in Huntsville, signed up for a plan for less than $20 a month. Some of our grad student captains in South Alabama signed up for plans for less than $15 a month. And then, there's the other side of that coin where one of our student volunteers tells us sort of a gut-wrenching story about how she sat on the couch next to her 34-year-old uncle as he passed away from a congenital heart disease that went undetected because he didn't have insurance. I think it starts with the stories. And honestly, the entire bill is so complex that unless people are willing to engage in a conversation and engage with an open mind with someone that they feel that they can trust, it just doesn't happen.
So it's got to be more than just between two ferns. But the stories you're telling, Josh, seem pretty compelling. Good luck there.
Thank you.
In Birmingham, Alabama, Josh Carpenter is co-founder of Bama Covered, which is a volunteer organization that works to increase enrollment in the ACA. Mary Agnes Carey is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Mary, thanks as always.
Thank you.
So is there a story compelling enough for you to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, or does money rule here?
Hi, my name is Natalie. I'm calling from Queens, New York. And regarding the healthcare question, I can't afford it. Rent is high, and I'm a single parent of two girls without child support. This affordable care is not really helping people like me, unfortunately.
Tell us your story at 877-8MyTake or Facebook.com/TheTakeaway.